and welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina.
I guess this is really the first real show. And last week was the South Carolina proposed deer regulations, where part of the show was a tape segment, and then part of it was Charles Ruth talking about the regulations. And also, we're kind of going to do what I would have done on the first Saturday of 2016 today. Just a little bit. But we're going to have we're going to catch up on the long-range calendar events. Today, we're going to have Mary Mitchell Roberts from the Southeastern Wildlife Exposition is going to be joining us to talk about this year's goings-on and who's going to be there and some of the things you can expect to see while you're there. And I warn you right now, if you plan on going to CWE, you're not going to be able to do it in 4 or 5 hours. I tried that last year. It just does not work. It's too spread out. There's too much to see. So if you're planning on going or you've never heard about the Southeastern Wildlife Exposition, then stay tuned, because we're going to have some information on that coming up for you soon. If you're in Greenville right now or tomorrow and you're planning to go to the International Auto Show, I got a heads up from Quaker State. This year is Jimmy Houston's I'm going to refrain from saying what Jimmy Houston always says when he catches the fish. But anyway, Jimmy Houston, he has been competing in fishing tournaments for 50 years this year. So they're celebrating his 50th year by having Tommy Pike from Tommy Pike Customs. I didn't look it up to see who that was. But anyway, Quaker State is kind of tricking out a Ram pickup for Jimmy Houston's 50th anniversary. And it's at the International Auto Show this weekend. And actually, Jimmy Houston's there right now. Jimmy's going to be there today. Well, he started at 1 o'clock. We'll be there till 5. And he's part of the Quaker State Pro Team. And then Matt Airy from Shelby, North Carolina, is going to be there tomorrow from 1 to 5. I talked to Matt the other day, and I'm going to go hang out, talk to him a little bit about some other things that I don't know if I'll get into that today, but it's I opened my mouth one too many times. But it's going to be fun. What I did is going to be fun, and we'll have to see how it plays out. But anyway, if you're going to the auto show, and I had lunch with Chevrolet Friday yesterday. And, you know, last year they debuted their Colorado, first year, like a mid-sized truck. This year, the Colorado's debuting in the diesel version. And just a little bit more. It comes with a little few more bells and whistles. And anyway, there's some real interesting things going on with Chevrolet that I'm going to go see for myself tomorrow. Okay, and with that, I guess I never this is Roger Metz. I don't know if I ever told you who I am. A lot of people still say, man, is that you on the radio? I'm like, yes. Has been for almost 2 years now. So welcome in to Woods and Water. We'll be here for the next hour. And with that, let's go to the long-range calendar events. Normally this time of the show, if you're new to the listenership, I do a 2 or 3 week out. Here's what's happening in the outdoors. And once in a while we get off on a rabbit trail. But long-range this year in South Carolina, on this show we talk a lot about the National Archery and School Program. Congratulations to my daughter. She made the team. We are now into, you know, tournament mode, practicing. Of course, she's had pneumonia. My goodness, poor child. But she's recovering, caught it early, but archery suffered. But if you're interested in the National Archery and School Programs, and they've already had one of these on the 9th, through February 17th, go to the Department of Natural Resources webpage. You can look. There are 5 regional shoot-offs. If you're child might be interested in participating, these are great times to go look, see what it's all about. They kind of get an overview of the mechanics of the program, and it's a great program. Just trust me on that one. Southeastern Wildlife Expo, February 12th through the 14th. We're going to have more on that in just a little bit. The South Carolina Department of Natural Resources is having a Sporting Clays Open on March the 5th at the Palmetto Shooting Complex down at the National Wild Turkey Federation in Edgefield. If you think you might be interested in shotgun sports for high schoolers, this is you. You can contact Sergeant Ryan Bass at the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. Again, that's March the 5th. The Fly Fishing Film Tour, March the 12th, Charleston, South Carolina. Always a great event. Always a lot of fun. Get down there, go to Low Country Fly Shop. You know, they've always got extracurricular things going on in association with the film tour. March the 12th in Charleston, the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic. March the 18th through the 20th, South Carolina State Fairgrounds in Columbia. It's always a big one, too. That is this state's premier outdoor show. the FLW is coming to Lake Hartwell March the 17th to the 20th. I'll have a lot more coming on that in just a short while. Probably next week we'll know more about that. That's going to be at Green Pond Landing on Lake Hartwell. The Fly Fishing Film Tour is going to make an appearance in Asheville, North Carolina, which is the other one that I was looking for. It just updated the other day. At Highland Brewing Company, again, if you don't know about the Fly Fishing Film Tour, it's probably 7 or 8 short 5 to 10 minute clips of fly fishing all over the world. The cinematography is usually incredible, and it makes you want to travel and go somewhere and go fly fishing. So that's what that's all about. The Bassmaster Elite Series will be in Winya Bay in Georgetown, April the 7th through the 10th. All your favorite elites, like your favorite cup people, will be there. There's some, you know, they've had a lot of rain, a lot of flooding. We hope they're going to be able to keep it there. Just have to wait and see on that one. Starting in April, and we're going to have Sarah Chabane on here from the Department of Natural Resources, the family fishing rodeos will kick back up. Those are free. Sometimes they have all the gear you need. Sometimes it's bring your own. They have a few. We're going to work with Zebco on our end to try to provide to those fishing rodeos that I can get them to that don't have tackle for everyone. We're going to try to get a few Zebco combinations there before the kids get there, so at least some of them have something to fish with if they don't, and to be able to take it home afterwards. The Shaw Air Force Base used to be Shaw Fest. It's now at the Air Expo. Haven't had it in 3 or 4 years. It's May the 21st through the 22nd. This is one of those off-the-beaten-trail things. But it's great. The U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds are going to be there. That was always one of the things I looked forward to. And as school got out in May, you know, head down to Shaw. So it's back. We will have someone from the 20th PR team down at Shaw on the show as we get closer to discuss static displays, performers. And the great thing about this is free. And with, you know, with gas as low as it is and projected to go a little bit lower, it's about as close to a freebie as you can get even with the travel. So if you've never been down for that, it's a great, great time. NASP World Championships. Your regional tournaments, your state tournaments, your national tournament, which is always held in Louisville, Kentucky. And I was in Louisville last week for a couple of days for the Archery Trade Association. Big place, 250 targets live at any one time for shooters. So that's the national. The Worlds are going to be in Myrtle Beach at the Myrtle Beach Sports Center this year. So that's a really big deal to have that. And you'll have, well, I saw teams from Alaska and all over. You can have international teams there. So that's a big deal for the state. Another opportunity to see all that. That's really a crowded event. You'd be better off to start at the regionals and maybe go to the state championships there in Sumter in March. The PD Deer Classic is moving from August, late August, to July. Or maybe they're just, maybe it's just a week. Maybe it was the first week in August. Now it's the last week in July. The PD Deer Classic, July the 22nd to the 24th. That's going to be the Civic Center in Florence, South Carolina. And I've never been. I have wanted to go and just never have made it over there. But I understand they've added, last year they added a whole section for conservation-minded organizations, and Delta Waterfowl was there. So it's growing. And again, that's July. That's going to be in Florence, South Carolina. And the South Carolina State Fair, October the 12th through the 23rd, State Fairgrounds in Columbia, South Carolina. Just who knows what you're going to see at the South Carolina State Fair. But you have to get a smoked turkey leg if you go. That's a requirement. That and a funnel cake. I mean, fair food is what you go to the fair for. But that's the state fair. So if you're new to the area, there's kind of a little bit that's going on in the state of South Carolina for this year, long range. Next week, we'll pick back up and start the normal couple of weeks out. And we won't have that every week because there's a lot more going on. But anyway, hang on through the break. We're going to have Mary with Seaweed come on and talk about this year, which is the 34th anniversary, Southeastern Wildlife Expo. See you on the other side of the break. Searching for my lost shaker song. back to Woods and Water, South Carolina, as promised. And after some, and not her fault, you know, sick children and stuff like that come first. But we welcome back Mary Mitchell Roberts from the Southeastern Wildlife Exposition. Mary, how are you doing today?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Very good. I love the way the CWE pamphlet starts off, celebrating 34 years of wildlife, art, and the sporting life.
Yes.
And not often do we get, in today's world, a celebration of, you know, what the South is. And yep. It's CWE.
It is, yeah. We try to represent the South really well. You know, of course, we have artists and exhibitors that come from all over the world.
Sure.
So, yeah. But, you know, we try to represent the South, and not only in the art and the artists, but also, you know, represent Charleston really well. You know, we bring a lot of people into town and help promote the local economy.
Yep.
So people actually refer to us as the kickoff to the tourism season, which we love.
Oh, me. You know, one thing I was impressed with last year when I was there was the trolley system, the bus system.
Yes.
Because a lot of people say, the last thing I want to do is go downtown Charleston when there's how many thousands of people there? Any guesses?
About 40.
Okay. About 40,000 people on the peninsula in Charleston. The last thing I want to do is get down in there in traffic. But the bus system y'all have running is great.
Well, thanks. You know, and I know that sometimes there's a wait, but of course, you know, that comes with the crowds. But
yeah.
Yes, it's free for anybody that holds a ticket. You know, a day ticket. It takes you from venue to venue,
yep.
Which is a huge. You can save a lot. One, save a lot of money by, you know, not having to pay parking.
And right.
Second, you know, Brittlebank Park, which is one of our venues, is at least a 20-minute walk from
right.
Marion Square.
Yep.
So.
And the waits are not bad, because when you're standing in line with people like the same things you do.
That's true.
So you can always, and being in the South, you have to strike up a conversation with a total stranger.
Yes.
So,
yes, be friendly to everybody.
That's exactly right. Well, look, give us, I'm going to get out of your way. Tell us a few things that are new or headlines this year. I know you've got a pretty big name coming in, and then just fill us in. You got, you know, 10 minutes. Go ahead.
Well, you know, people forget that the heart of CWE is the art.
Right.
And so this year we have some really big names that are coming in, extremely excited about. First, our featured artist, Kyle Sims. He is amazing. He's, you know, in his early 30s. You would never guess he was as young as he is.
Okay.
And he paints these huge, almost lifelike, you know, big game animals that are just fantastic. And he's actually our featured artist who painted our featured image, which is a picture of a big grizzly bear. And it's awesome.
It's on the front. Is that the one on the front of the brochure?
Yes.
Okay.
It is in person, which, you know, it'll be hanging all weekend at Charleston Place Hotel in
okay.
person. It's just, it's amazing. And we also have John Banovich and Greg Beecham, who, I mean, these are the guys that sell their paintings years before they
right.
actually paint them.
So right.
Just big names in the industry.
Okay.
And then, you know, in addition to the art, we have live presentations, and this year Jack Hanna's coming to town.
Yes.
Which is always fun. I mean, for all ages.
Yeah.
Whenever my parents come in town, I have my nieces and nephews and parents. So it's literally all ages.
Right.
He's a lot of fun. And that's, you know, with a day ticket, you can see Jack Hanna or you can see all this art. And then you can also go down to Brittlebank Park to see the very popular crowd-pleasing Doc Dog.
Yes.
Yes. And so this year, for the fourth year in a row, we are going to have two tanks side by side where all day dogs are running and jumping into these big tanks of water, which is so much fun. I mean, dogs literally of all sizes and expert levels.
Yes. Last year I was there was one that slightly resembled a Sherman tank going off the end.
Yes.
What else you got
going
on?
It's always fun.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you know, also at Marion Square, which Marion Square is our venue where you do not need a ticket to go
okay.
in there. But we'll have chef demos of local and regional chefs that use all South Carolina products to make some of their favorite meals, and they kind of tell you how it's done.
Okay.
And there's also the Center for Birds of Prey flight demonstrations, which there's two per day, Friday and Saturday, and one on Sunday. And this is truly the most educational, free, family fun show, I believe, that you'll find in Charleston at all. It's so entertaining. The birds will fly from the top of the hotel, which is adjacent to the park, all the way down to the middle of this arena with, you know, thousands of people watching, and they tell you all about the ecosystem and how birds really impact our lives. It's really fascinating.
And they're based right there in Allendale.
Yes, they are. They're right around the corner.
Yes.
They're really great people. And the people who work there, you can talk with them. They're, you know, they don't always let you touch the birds, but they'll tell you anything about them, and they just love what they do. And you can, you know, that comes through when you're,
yes,
when you're talking to them and listening to them tell you about the birds.
Yes, it does.
Yes. And, of course, you know, at Marion Square, we have puppet shows, and I have a conservation village, which has about 50 conservation groups.
Okay.
That, you know, kind of use CWE as a platform to advertise what, you know, what they do and what their mission is.
Right.
And then, not to jump venues, but you go back to Brittlebank Park, and we have retriever demos and yep, fly fishing demos and, you know, kids fly fishing demos. We also have, you know, live music and kids games at Brittlebank Park as well.
And the Sporting Village, where you can go in and look at your, you know, hunting, fishing, safari guides, outfitters, things like that, too. And the John Deere tractor display is always a good one.
Oh, yeah. That's always so much fun.
Yes. Gotta love
it. So another, oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well, and another big, big thing this year is that we have the Gilliard Center back.
Okay.
Which, for, I guess, 3 years in a row, it was under renovations. And this, you know, the city just spent $142 million in renovations.
Wow.
Make this truly a superior performance hall. It's one of, I've heard, the, you know, the best performance halls in the Southeast. So
okay,
just a chance to go in there. It's really cool.
Okay.
So there we'll have knife makers and artisans and craftsmen, you know, everything from leather goods to furniture to woodwork. And, of course, that's where our live presentations are going to be as well.
Okay. Okay.
We're really excited to have it back. It's kind of given us a chance to refresh the show.
Sure.
And, you know, introduce new exhibitors to our fans and bring back old favorites. So
I noticed a couple of things this year that I hadn't noticed before. And that is you're actually going to have a few, well, you've got one listed as the QDMA lecture series. And you've also got some impromptu meetings between DNR and some local and national conservation organizations. That is that new for this year? Did I just miss that?
Those are both new. Good catch.
Okay.
The QDMA, we've worked a lot with them in the past. We kind of wanted to amp up our partnership. So at Brittlebank Park, they're going to have their own tent where they're going to be giving lectures, you know, ranging from you know, whitetail oddities, and another one is deer ID and aging.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's on a variety of topics with a variety of speakers.
Sure.
And then the roundtable discussion, this is kind of the brainchild of our executive director, and he has been able to bring together people from neighboring states to kind of discuss, you know, issues and what they deal with every day and, you know, provide insight to some current issues that people might have questions on.
So,
and that's actually going to be at the Charleston Museum.
Okay. All right. And then, of course, I see the duck decoy display and auctions back on again this year.
Oh, yes. Guyette and Dieter are going to take over the Marriott Hotel once again and have, you know, I guess nearly 200 decoys and an auction. And there's also decoy exhibitors.
Oh, wow.
At the Marriott Hotel as well.
Those are cool.
I know there's so much going on at CWE that I forget some of the
things. Well, I'm here to remind you of the things that at least I like anyway.
Yes. And another big decoy thing at the Marriott is a special exhibit this year called The Southern Decoy as an Art Form. And it's actually kind of a curated collection of really high-end, really rare Southern decoys that I've heard is not to be missed.
I can imagine. Can imagine that would be good. You're also going to have, talking of kids, I noticed this one here, Paint Your Pet.
Yes, that's a new event this year.
Which looks like so much fun.
Yeah, I know. I'm definitely going to be there with my kid.
Yes.
It's January 30th, so it's before CWE, so it's kind of...
Oh, it's before. I didn't notice that.
Yes.
These are other... Okay, this is a different page here.
Yeah, the special events.
Yeah, the special events page.
We partner up with a lot of local organizations just to kind of cross-promote.
Okay.
So...
Gotcha.
That was one of the That was one of our partnerships this year, and we're excited about it.
And then there's food.
Yes.
Oyster roasts and all sorts of good stuff going on.
Oh, yes. Lots of good stuff going on. And, you know, as a VIP, which our VIP packages are almost sold out, you get badges that will give you access to VIP events.
Okay.
One of which is a Thursday night black tie event where we have live animals and art auctions and all the artists are there. You know, everyone's in tuxes and it's a lot of fun. And then Saturday night we have the seaweed soiree, which is an oyster roast.
Okay.
And that's more of like your, you know, jacket and boots kind of event. It's more low key. It's a lot of fun too.
Very nice. Well, it's February the 12th through the 14th.
Yes.
So that's Valentine's Day weekend.
Yes. And tickets are available on SEWE.com, or you can just call the office at 843-723-1748, and we'll help you out.
And you're sending me a couple as a giveaway?
Yes, I'm sending you some tickets for a giveaway.
Okay.
And I wanted to extend a promotion or a promo code to your listeners.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, of course. If they get on to SEWE.com.
Okay.
And when they're checking out, enter the promo code Woods and Water, all one word. They'll get 20% off of day tickets.
Oh, wow.
So that takes a $20 or $25 Saturday ticket down to $20.
That's it.
So
great.
You can't beat it.
I appreciate that. And I appreciate the free tickets. I won't spring it on everybody today because I don't know who's listening, but I'll give everybody a warning. Next Saturday, we're going to give away some tickets to Seawee, courtesy of Mary Mitchell Roberts and her staff down there. And we appreciate those, as always.
Of course. Well, thank you.
And I'll see you. I'm going to come down Friday this year. I guess I came down Friday night, except I'm going to have the whole day.
Oh, good. Yay. Yeah. You can try to see everything if you can squeeze it all in.
I tried to see everything in 4 hours last year. It does not work.
No, it doesn't. You need at least one day.
Yes, you do. Well, Mary, thank you for coming on. As always, you're welcome.
Thank you
here.
For having me.
Yeah, you're welcome to promote Seawee anytime you feel like it.
Well, thank you. If you ever need anything, please call.
I will. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there you go, people. I know we keep having new people move into the area. Maybe you've never heard of the Southeastern Wildlife Exposition. Go to seawee.com. Look at it. It's great. You got Jack Hanna coming, the Birds of Prey. I'm going to try to get someone from that center on in the next couple weeks. All I've got to do is set it up. They've more than willing to come on. I just haven't gotten in touch with them and ironed out a time. Because that is really cool. They do the bird demonstrations out there in Marion Square, and they have a big tent set up where they display all the birds. You can walk through, the volunteers are there, like Mary was saying, to answer questions you might have about them. Just a really good thing. And then the dogs. I mean, if you or your children like dogs, this is the place to be. Because there's dogs of, like I said, there was one coming off that jump tank last year. It looked like a Sherman tank. Oh, me. And I'm going to be putting some pictures up on the Facebook page, the Woods and Water South Carolina Facebook page from last year, so you get an idea. Hang on through the break. Back on the other side.
Got me looking at the heaven in your eyes.
And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Like I said before, if you you heard that segment with Mary on Seawee, next week we'll be giving away some tickets. So you want to tune in next week. I won't. That way everybody can have a chance to tell their friends and all that. If you want to go to Seawee, can I have some tickets here? I don't know exactly how many she's sending, but I'll have them here for you. New Year's resolutions. Like I said, I would have done this back on the January the first Saturday show, but I took the week off. So I kind of want to go back, and, you know, I made some very simple ones this year. One was to get up at a certain time, take the dog walking, because she needs it as much as I do, and tackle the hardest thing of my day first. Now, I will say I've pretty much the third one, tackle the hardest part of the day first, the thing I dread most about the day, I've tried to do that. And it's amazing once you get through something like that. Well, the other stuff to the day doesn't seem near as bad, but the getting up and walking the dog thing just has not happened. And I'm going to try to do better. But, you know, as outdoorsmen, we may or may not make New Year's resolutions. And sometimes I wonder why, because they're so few and far between the ones that are kept. But Outdoor Life had a list of New Year's resolutions for the outdoorsmen. And I thought a lot of these were really good. They're not something you have to keep all year long. These are one-time goals. And you'll see as I start going through these what I mean. But it's just good things for us to do from time to time as outdoorsmen. And the first one, I love the first one, retake your hunter safety course. You know, I took mine in 1990. That seems right. You know, and a lot of most states now, including South Carolina, have a hunter safety course requirement before you can get a license. And the reason I had to have mine back then is because we were going to Colorado elk hunting was, you know, because they want you to be safe. And so I've been, 25 years, 1992, yeah, 25 years, okay. And it would be good because from time to time we get lazy, we forget. And an even better thing is, even if your child doesn't at this time want to hunt or something, it's a good time to go together, retake it together. And the class, I love the class better than the online and all that. The class just adds something to it. So we all know the basics of hunter safety, but it never hurts to take a refresher course. And here we go. If you took the class 10, 15, or even 30 years ago, there are bound to be a variety of changes to laws and safety procedures. It's time to catch up. And I heartily agree with that one. And that's an easy one to do. The Department of Natural Resources offers those things throughout the year. And like I said, if you don't have a child that's of the age that needs to take one, then, hey, grab a kid from the neighborhood. You know, this show is about getting new people involved in the outdoors, not necessarily forcing you to hunt, but maybe you would like it. Maybe fishing's your thing, or hiking, camping, whatever. Just make the first and foremost resolution I have you make is to get outdoors more. But second to that is retake a safety course. Kill an Asian carp. Now, we don't have them here, but if you've ever looked at the videos, they're taking over. And and in this one, they like the whack 'em and stack 'em mentality. So, you know, if you get to the Midwest, sure, go ahead, Mississippi River, go kill an Asian carp. That's not going to happen here in South Carolina. This is a good one. Be a better wing shooter. It's a common knowledge that an inaccurate shot with a rifle or a bow can lead to a wounded game, but the same is true and so much more for a shotgun. It might not be heartbreaking to hit and lose a duck as a trophy elk, but hunters, it's our responsibility to make a clean shot. So get out the trap, Skeeter Sporting Clays range, and maybe even take a professional lesson or two. And we will have a professional wing shooter on this show shortly to help you with that, someone I've known for a long, long time. And it takes practice. And that's something, we have no shortage of sporting clays ranges here in South Carolina. They're spread from Riverbend all the way down to the coast. There's the new range and all down at the National Wild Turkey Federation, the Palmetto Sport. Flipped my mind. Palmetto Shooting Complex down at the National. That is open to the public. That's yours and mine shooting course. And they have, it's a really neat place. So be a better wing shooter. This is number two of my resolutions I forgot, and that's keep your dog in shape. You wouldn't have an Olympic runner sit around half the year taking naps and getting fat and then expecting to run a sub-4-minute mile. Well, a dog isn't much different. Hunting dogs are athletes, and they are healthiest and happiest when they get exercise throughout the year. You know, that's true. I took mine out this morning. I had an early breakfast, came back to the house. Sophie, we went out, probably spent, 15 minutes running around the backyard. She chewing sticks and chasing balls and all. And you know, it was good for both of us. And then dogs are really therapeutic in that sense. But, you know, keep that dog in shape all year long. I took Sophie duck hunting for the first time the other day, and not many birds around. And first hunt of the year, she was so excited. The 5-milers that swung in a couple of times, she just lost it. Whining, barking, running around, just so excited. And you can't blame her for that. You know, if I stayed pent up and only had 4 days a year to go hunting, I'd do the same thing. But anyway, make an effort to keep your dog in shape this year. And that goes for everyone. Donate a deer. This is one where hunters, we can have such a positive impact on the image of hunting. And I do this from time to time, especially when I don't finish up a deer during a year. I'll take it to the Grove Soup Kitchen or something like that. Donate a deer. Venison is tough to beat. It's healthy. It tastes good. It's 100% natural. In regions where whitetail populations are too high, take a little extra time in the early season or late season to harvest one and donate it. You can find a, you know, there's Hunters for the Hungry national organization. You can, and most processors I know of will take those deer and find a place for them to go to benefit, you know, food shelters or whatever like that. So deer season's over for this year. Next year is something you may want to look into. This is a good one, and it's been so long since I've been fly fishing. I think it almost applies to me. It says, try fly fishing again. Wrecked back in the spring of the year, really messed my right shoulder up. I didn't think it was a good idea to go fly fishing, but then I started reading Casting for a Cure and Casting for Recovery. Actually, the motion of throwing a fly rod is very, very beneficial to the muscles in your back. It's a low impact range of motion exercise that they say is just great. And that's why they use fly fishing a lot in cancer recovery, because not only does it get you out on the water and all that, but that motion is just good for the muscles in your back. So try fly fishing again. There are a lot of outdoorsmen out there who have fly rods in their garage or basements, but they're not exactly fly fishermen. I know this because I'm one of them. No, I like to think I'm more than just a, anyway, I'm not suggesting we'll all have to become fly tying, vest wearing, stream wading trout worshipers, but there's something special about fly fishing that makes it tempting and worth the effort. And I'll tell you what it is about fly fishing for me. It's the sound of the water. If you've ever gone to a waterfall, you've ever gone and walked trails along rivers and all, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The variations in the sound of the water is one of the most relaxing things you will ever experience. From the, you know, just kind of the quiet, long run, deep pools, closer to the rocks and all, it gets louder, and the tail end of those rocks and, you know, off a plunge or something, it is. So if you have never fly fished, you ought to try it. Here's one that took me a little time to get used to, and that's shooting AR. Everybody goes, look, they're fun. I made myself get one just to have it, and I didn't shoot it for 2 years just because I really had no use for the thing. But then one day I took it out and shot it, and then my daughter shot it, and that's where it really gets expensive, when your kids figure out how fun an AR is. And an AR does not stand for assault rifle. Let's get that out of the way. It's an abbreviation for Armalite. Armalite was the company that really started producing that kind of gun. So this guy says, these are pretty good reasons to own one, too. Number one, Hillary Clinton thinks AR should be illegal. And number two, they really are fun to shoot. And they are. So go shoot one. Tie better knots. For you fishermen out there, this is always something. And if you ever go into Grady's Great Outdoors and you get involved with a conversation with Don Artman, he's going to teach you a new knot. And it's important. This article says, I met a pro redfish angler last year who would practice new knots in his living room while watching television. He tied them over and over and as fast and as perfectly as he could. He did this for hours until he could tie that knot almost mechanically. If you don't want to put this kind of an effort, you can always buy a knot tying book and practice a few times before you hit the water. And I'll say, in addition to tying a knot, every time you catch a fish, you ought to feel the knot. Just run your, you know, between your thumb and forefinger, just run your hand up and down the line above the knot. Because a lot of times, not so much with bass and all that, but a lot of your saltwater fish, they'll wear out a knot, you know, 2-3 inches. If you've ever been snook fishing, you know what I'm talking about 4 inches up from your knot, they'll be afraid. Place in your line that you can see. This one is kind of, well, I'll tell you what, before we go into this, we only got a little bit of time for a break here. We'll skip this one because this is kind of important. I want to go into a little bit of discussion on it. To fill in the time, I've got this. You may not have known, but they held a series of meetings on public boating and safety concerns. And it looks like there's a movement afoot, and I think it's a good one, to require boater education before you can operate a boat. Right now it's required for kids under a certain length of boat, horsepower and all that. But that's something that's coming. And, you know, that's a responsibility thing. You got to have one, have a hunting license, car to drive a car. Why not one for a boat? Just an education thing. Hang on, we'll come back to a few more of these New Year's resolutions. See you on the other side. I love- Welcome back to Woods and Water. We're going to dive into a few more of these New Year's resolutions, as you would. They're not something you have to keep all year long. These are one-time goals to set for 2016. This one is kind of, there's a lot of conversation that goes on back and forth between hunters and fishermen and all, and it's go for a trophy. Now, and in this article written by Alex Robinson from Outdoor Life, it is, I'm sorry, that's the photo gallery. I'm sorry. Well, anyway, go for a trophy. And this comes from the deer hunting perspective, but it can apply to pretty much anything you want to do in the outdoors. Could be, you know, making it to the top of Table Rock or Caesar's Head or, you know, pick your hike that you want, and that's your trophy for the year because you're going to set out and do something. And you need to elevate it a little bit more above what you normally do. Fly fishing. Here's a good one for you. Pick up fly fishing and catch a fish on a certain fly. I had breakfast with a friend of mine this morning. You know, he started trapping. And we were talking about that. He's intent on getting that. He said, but, you know, he said, I went white perch fishing the other day, and I caught him. And he said, that was my goal. So, in essence, and some people, that's a trophy. You know, doing what you're picking a method, picking a target, and reaching it. And here says, there's nothing wrong with shooting the first legal deer you see, but you'll never kill a trophy buck if you punch your tag early on a little guy. Take the season to use all your patience and deer hunting knowledge to kill the biggest buck of your life or eat your tag trying. And, you know, there are some, in South Carolina this year, there have been some big deer. And I think with the population coming down, as we were talking to Charles Ruth last week, you know, the carrying capacity of the land, fewer deer, I mean, healthier deer. But a trophy is in the eye of the beholder, really. And so pick something this year that can be your trophy for this year. You know, chase a new species, which could tie into just the last one, you know, a trophy. This one, you know, there are hundreds of game and fish species in North America alone that are open to hunting and fishing. Pick one you've never taken and go after it. There's nothing more exciting than the first time. Maybe this year will be the first time I get my elk. I have two misses under my belt. I freely admit that. They are, one of them is a nightmare I have from time to time. I wake up in a cold sweat, and it's just like I have lived through it all over again. But be that as may, find something new and go after it. Join an NGO. That's a non-governmental organization. There are dozens of great NGOs, Pheasants Forever, Ducks Unlimited, Whitetails Unlimited, Rocky Mountain Elk Federation, that are always looking for new members and donations. And there are a ton of them. I have let all of mine drop. I am one by one going to pick them back up. As I can't belong to all of these, but there are some good ones. You know, Delta, Ducks Unlimited on your duck hunting side, you know, QDMA, Whitetails Unlimited, Rocky Mountain Elk Federation. There's the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Organization. There's tons of them. Find one that is in your wheelhouse and join it, because it's going to take all of us to keep our heritage alive and involve the next generation. Maybe that's what you want to do. If you're a member of all these, buy a membership for someone else and let them get involved. Here's a good one. Learn how to survive. We've talked to people on here about how to be prepared, but learn how to survive. Update your first aid kit. Check out new survival book. Test a few survival techniques. And the thing about this is you're always learning something, and you never know when you're going to need it. Rediscover the basics. I love this one. Big game hunting is great, but the small pursuits like pan fishing, squirrel hunting, cut to the heart of appreciating the outdoors. Grab a can of worms, your old beat up 22, and get back to your roots. And there's a little, I guess they're called memes out there, if that's it. And it's got a picture of a brim on it, and it says the original gateway drug. And, you know, for most of us, that's how it happened. Brim fishing, granddaddy, dad, whoever. And let me tell you what, as complicated as life is these days, sometimes it's there's nothing more relaxing than just, you know, a can of worms sitting beside a creek, pond, dock on a lake, something, and just frankly, if you're going brim fishing, get you a loaf of bunny bread. That's really getting back to your roots. Read the great ones. Dad always told me what you read, nobody can ever take away from you. And that's the truth. And I, of course, wasted a lot of my time reading outdoor books and not enough school books. But read the great ones. And this one pictured here is the Sand County Almanac and sketches here and there by Aldo Leopold. As far as I'm concerned, reading anything by Ernest Hemingway, Aldo Leopold, Jack O'Connor, Jack London, one of my favorites, Gene Hill, Bill Heavey, even though he's from Field and Stream, Pat McManus or Jim Corbett is time well spent. And there's so many more writers out there in so many genres, it's not funny. Pat McManus, mentioned here, is one of the funniest outdoor writers you'll have ever read in your entire life. It's a hee-haw. I think I've got most, if not all, of his books. But read, you know, put down I've got a story here about iPads and iPods and all that. Put all that stuff down. Disconnect. Pick up a book. And don't read it on a Kindle either. Go buy a book. Sit down. Put on your reading glasses if that's what it takes. And get back and read some. And in reading, be amazed what you pick up. Take better photos. This is one that I love. I love taking photos. I get lucky and take some good photographs, I guess, but editing software also helps. Take time to, in deer hunting, take time to set up that picture. Duck hunting, let those birds come in, shoot some pictures, squirrels. I mean, squirrels are everywhere and they make some of the best pictures. Birds, backyard bird feeders. Take time, learn your camera, and take a good picture. Just a little bit ago, we got into a sure shot game call picture exchange between some friends of mine, and I put up a picture on the Facebook page of some sure shot game calls. They're old wooden duck calls, great calls, still work just as well today. Charlie Holder happened to see him. He owns Sure Shot Game Calls. He said, "Hey, you get a picture contest going, we'll donate a duck call." So, and just stage a picture. But, you know, you take good pictures and they last a lifetime. So look for that. We may have a Sure Shot Duck Call picture contest here coming up pretty soon. There's a couple of these here I don't particularly like. But this one, especially in this year, an election year, make your voice heard. You know, write your state representatives, attend community meetings, and vote. These are all ways to protect your hunting and fishing rights and your right to bear arms, which is true now more than ever. A bill introduced in Georgia would confiscate guns they don't like. The head of the California Fish and Game just resigned, one of the last ones who's really proactive for hunting and fishing in California, and who knows what's going to happen there. So it can happen here. This year is a golden opportunity to make your voice heard. And the last one, which is probably one of the best ones of them all, except for maybe the first one, introduce someone new to hunting and fishing, hiking, camping, whatever it is you do outdoors. This is one that all of us can do. It doesn't matter what you do. You don't have to be a fly fisherman to take somebody to camp. You don't have to be a camper to take somebody to fly fishing. Do what you do and take somebody new and introduce them. The number of outdoorsmen has been declining over the last few years, and one of the main reasons many people don't participate in outdoor sports is because there is no one to teach them how to get started. I mean, I remember back to when you got started, whatever you did, somebody took you, somebody introduced you to it. Somebody said, "Here's what you need." Or somebody bigger than life said, "Let me take you. Come go with me." And that's what we've got to remember. The kids are not going to do this on their own. You know, young men and women just getting out of college, you know, they're busy. We've got to help them. We've got to get more people involved in the outdoors. It's just a simple fact. It's a mathematical fact. It says here, Remember all the people who helped you get started hunting and fishing? Now's the time to pass it on. And I hope you will. So that's just a few of the things that, you know, that don't require you to get up every day and say, oh, yes, I've got to whatever. Those are just some simple things that all of us can do that that will help what we love to do. So I had so many other articles and so much other things I wanted to get to. I guess I'll go ahead and throw this out here. I got a note the other day, or I saw a note that said there were openings for co-anglers on the FLW tournament for Lake Hartwell coming up here in March. And so I turned around and said, okay. So I emailed my contact at FLW. And he said, I don't know about it. He said, you want me to check into it? I said, sure. He said, are you interested? And I said, well, you know me, Joe. I said, I'll do anything once if it doesn't hurt too much. So that was midweek last week, or week before last, I guess. And Monday, he actually forwarded me the Quaker State Media guide about Jimmy Houston and Matt Airy being at the International Auto Show coming up. And I asked him, I said, just in passing, I said, well, did you find out anything about the co-angler deal for the tournament? He goes, oh, yeah. He said, you're in. He said, paperwork and that sort of thing. He said, you're in. You need to do this and this and this and then show up at registration on Wednesday morning. So this is going to be interesting, but I'll be fishing the co-angler, which is the back end of the boat, on Thursday and Friday, the FLW tournament stop on Lake Hartwell. Should be really interesting. Right now I'm wearing out my contacts because it's been 20 years or so since I really bass fished. So all of my tackle and gear is 1990s era stuff. I don't know if the rods would break. I don't know. Fiberglass back then probably break today. And it's going to be fun. There's more coming on that. We're going to do more on the show side, on the FLW Tour Stops and the Bassmaster Elite Series Tour Stops. But anyway, that's interesting. If, I am wide open for sponsors. If you want to get on a tournament jersey, hey, let me know. I'm real cheap. I hope you enjoyed the show today. I have a lot lined up coming up. January is going to kind of be an off month. Don't really have many things I've got to get to. I'm going to try to catch up some stuff from last year. But in doing so, we're going to get started off again with Chuck. And Chuck Norris once ate an entire bottle of sleeping pills. And they made him blink. I hope you have a good week. I hope you listen to some of those New Year's resolutions. You know, all it takes is one or two of those things for any one of us. And think about the multipliers. You know, Ken Fleming, who taught me how to hunt, is coming back from Texas quail hunt, which he rightly deserves to be out there hunting and all. But, you know, I think back on all the times he spent with me and how much I spent with others. You just never know where it's going to lead. So, hey, make time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can. Be careful. And I'll see you here back next week. In my mind.